Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. Titans fall 20-12 in Denver, and they begin the season 0-1. And to help us talk more about that, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Corey Curtis to the program, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I am delightful, fellas. How are you? Have you guys killed each other yet, or no?
Not yet. Not yet.
No, we're in lockstep. I mean, we should all be able to agree about some of the horrific things we saw yesterday.
Well, I think he's referring to the Lions and the Packers. But
What? No, I'm laughing with Robbie. Lions suck. I told my kid, and I told all Lions fans, it's about to get bad, and it's about to get bad.
Wow.
No, they're not very good. They're going 9-8.
I had somebody on Twitter tell me yesterday that Cam Ward was a bust, and I'm like, it took only one week.
1 week,
huh? There we go.
All right, there we go.
And so, Lions, bust.
So, Corey, let's start on the Brian Callahan front. I thought a pretty awful day for him yesterday on a variety of fronts.
Yep.
I want to start with the end of the first half. So you're up 6-3. Yeah. It was not necessarily a well-played game for you offensively. Defensively, you're making some plays. You were hanging in there. I thought Bo Nix was awful in the first half in particular yesterday. And you've got an opportunity to run the ball, hand it off, and go into the half up 6-3. And for some reason, that's when he chooses to be as aggressive as he was at any point in the game, and it ended up being a disaster for the Titans. So what did you make of that? How do you make that decision if you're Brian Callahan? What's your takeaway from that?
You know, I think that's the most baffling part of that, so I'm glad you brought that up, was I thought he was reasonably conservative in the first half. Like, when they settled for the field goal on the opening drive, I thought that was absolutely the right move. Keep your quarterback out of position to make a mistake, you know, take a sack, throw an interception, get the points on the board, you know, just keep, you know, your defense is doing great. Your special teams look much improved. I think that's, you know, a huge plus from yesterday. Your special teams look much, much better. But then all of a sudden, you know, with 5 seconds to play on your own 7, when they've only got 2 timeouts, so you can take a knee and get out of there. And you don't, and you decide, now's the time I'm going to get aggressive. I mean, you got to go at least 50 yards to have a chance against that defense, which has been a struggle, and now you want to get aggressive? It baffles my mind. I mean, I even tweeted out immediately, you got to take a knee. Got to take a knee. Get to the locker room. I mean, I can't believe that someone on the sideline didn't run over and tackle him and say, what are you doing? It made no sense to me whatsoever. I know those guys all know more football or will forget more football than I'll ever know. But that decision is one that, I will never understand. I will put in my all-time bad category.
Yeah, there's football knowledge, and then there's math and common sense, which failed him miserably there. Well, I must say, because I'm with you on everything you said, and I think it was egregious. I think it was malpractice. I would like you to compare that then to Brian Callahan not knowing the rule on a catch, not challenging that play with Aya Manor, and then saying after the game the rule incorrectly in front of all the world. How do you weigh those two things?
Well, I mean,
what's worse?
I think the first half one is worse because he's known as a play caller. Okay, he's known as an offensive guy, and you know you've got to know, you know, the situation. The other one isn't good because, you know, look, we've seen, you know, Mike Vrabel, for whatever ups and downs, knew the rules inside and out. I mean, we knew that. Jeff Fisher knew the rules inside and out. And so when we see a coach who doesn't know them like that, it stands out. And again, he should have a person who's, you know, who tells him, no, he only needs an elbow. You know, it is on him to know the rule, but he should have a person who knows the rule as well to make sure that
all NFL coaches should probably know the rules.
Yeah.
I would agree. Like anyone who does this as their profession. Yeah.
Yeah, somebody else should be there and say, hey, he only needs an elbow. Now, are we sure he got the elbow in? I don't know that.
I don't know.
No, but it's worth a chance. I think he did. I'm not sure. I think he did. I would challenge it.
It wasn't like a lot of calls were going their way yesterday.
I mean, tell me that. Don't tell me that you need a foot inbounds. Yeah, you know? Like, tell me, we didn't think it was going to be.
Exactly.
No, yeah. I didn't think you got in. I'm just asking.
Yeah, I know.
Because I never saw a replay where I thought, oh, my gosh, the elbow is definitely in. But that's not what he said. I mean, if he had said, I don't think it was in, that's a whole different story.
Yeah, don't tell me you need to get all your digits on the grass like you're playing Twister to be in, you know?
good stuff there. All right, so Corey, Cam Ward sacked 6 times yesterday. I believe the Broncos got credited with 12 quarterback hits. Now, I think for sure 2, and I'd have to go back and look through all of them again. You could maybe make the argument for more than 2, but for sure 2 of those sacks are on Cam Ward. But you're still talking about an offensive line that allowed the quarterback to get hit 12 times yesterday. So what's your takeaway from that?
Well, he got pressured on 50% of his throws, most in the league. And so, yes, it was a tough day for the young man. We knew it was going to be. I am probably unreasonably, you know, hard on him because I think I even tweeted out, is this Will Levis or is this Cam Ward? Get rid of the ball. Throw it away. And people are like, you know, hey, you know, he's got nowhere to throw it. It'll be intentional grounding. I'm of the opinion of quarterback, you know, you have to know the situation of I got to minimize damage here. You know, the one where they were down 12-10 and had the ball and he took the 2 sacks to knock him out of field goal range. I understand that was a tough spot. But for me, you got to keep yourself in field goal range first and foremost. Yep. He knows where the patterns are. You know, chuck it into the stands. Or get down, you know. Don't retreat. And go back further. And, you know, he's a rookie. It was his first game. And again, that's another area where Brian Callahan could have gotten conservative on third down and run the ball and made sure Joey Sly, who had a great day, especially for people who drafted him in fantasy, had a great day, would have a chance to give you the lead. You know, because by my take, they gave away 13 points in that game. You know, the decision at halftime where they gave up the touchdown, that one where they took the 2 sacks, knocking them out of field goal range, and then the Pollard fumble after they had gotten the interception. So that's at least 3 points. So that's 13 points that they gave away in that game. And so, you know, I understand he's a gunslinger, and I understand it's a difficult situation. And so, like I said, I'm probably too hard on him, but there's just a time when incomplete is way more important than complete. In that situation, if it's an impossible situation, then I apologize to him. But that's just my take.
So the offense was absolutely atrocious. Special teams was overall very encouraging. What about the defense? What's your overall takeaway from the defense, Corey?
Well, they created 3 turnovers, which was good. I haven't looked at the overall numbers. As Robbie said, they made, you know, Bo Nix look pretty average. They gave him a chance to tie the game at the end. You know, it was funny because I told Julian in the office, I'm like, we haven't called Devondre Sweat's name all day. And then on 4th and inches, he blows up the play and gets him the ball back. And I'm like, well, boom, there it is. So they made plays. I think that was the most encouraging thing is they made plays, you know, the interceptions, you know, the run defense, they did give up some stuff, but I thought largely the run defense was pretty good most of the day. And you knew as the game went on, they were probably going to get worn out and give up a few things. But, you know, holding Denver to 20 points, I think that's a win. You know, in that situation, you know, you had some bad situations in the one and a half. You know, Jarvis Brownlee, I understand he wants to be physical. He's got to figure that out a little bit because I got news for him. The word is out. All right. They're watching him. And I guess you could say, well, you hold him and make him stop calling it. Well, they haven't stopped yet. So, you know, that's one thing that they've got to figure out. But, you know, playmaking was there And so that was encouraging. Now, Femi Oladejo got pressure, but he was unblocked on those pressures. So
right.
I don't know how much credit we can give him for those.
He did look like a good pass rusher when they just completely ignored him and said, yeah, go ahead and run straight at the guy.
It was like twice. It was like Sean Payton said, hey, don't worry about this guy. He won't get there, all right?
It was pretty incredible. It's like, wow, I just no one blocking him out there. Good stuff.
Nice pass rush move. So run.
Corey, in totality here, it's week one, so I totally understand it. But you are talking about now a 3-15 head coach, and a head coach yesterday that, through a couple of different instances, looked incompetent, right? Like, I mean, it is what it is. He looked incompetent yesterday. How damaging is yesterday's game for Brian Callahan in your mind? Whether that's you want to go job status later on in the season, you want to go in the locker room and how he's perceived in there, how damaging was that yesterday?
It wasn't good. I mean, like we said, the stuff before halftime is egregious, and I keep thinking to Matt Eberflus last year after the Washington loss. They were done with him at that point.
How about that Detroit loss?
Yeah, I mean, the Detroit loss, with the time issue. Absolutely. You know, those things get you. And when it starts going on that he didn't know the rule, that's not going to look good with his team either, because they need to know that the people that are teaching them stuff are people that they can count on. The other thing, though, is they spent the entire offseason, the entire offseason, focused on eliminating self-inflicted negatives. 13 penalties yesterday. And so you say you had an entire offseason to work on this, and you had 13 penalties for 131 yards. And at that point, you just say, appreciate all the things you're doing to try to fix it, but one game, now next game they might come out, commit three, but in one game, it did nothing to fix it. It did nothing to fix it. And at that point, you're like, okay, you know, they always say insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting, you know, a different result. You know, you just have to say, is he not the guy to fix it? You know, you need Nick Saban in here to make sure they stop committing penalties. I don't know, but I think those things are damning. I think those three things are really damning, and he's got a lot of work to do, you know, to overcome them. Does that mean he can't overcome them? No. I mean, people were, you know, Dan Campbell in Detroit looked like a moron, you know, when things started. He's chugging 40-ounce coffees, and the team looked like the Lions, and then he got it turned around. And so he can still do that. But he's against the line right now, because I know fans are circling.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I can't imagine the front office is thrilled. But I think the most important thing is what you point out is the locker room. You know, they have to still believe in him. He has to have those guys, because they did fight hard yesterday. There's no question about that. There's no question that they battled and tried. But if they don't believe in the guy leading them, it'll get ugly.
He did teach him how to play Yahtzee this summer, so got that going for him.
Hey, I like Yahtzee.
I really always hated that game. I hated Yahtzee. My great-grandma would have us play Yahtzee, and I'd be like, no, I really like Yahtzee.
They play Hungry, Hungry Hippos. What all went down. That's a lot of stuff you can do. Shoots and ladders.
An underrated game.
Yep.
Don't Corey, Candyland.
Rock'em, Sock'em, Robot.
And now we're talking.
Ooh.
Corey. Great stuff. Unfortunately, more of the same from the Titans yesterday. Hopefully at some point that will improve in our lifetime.
Yeah.
We appreciate you taking time to be with us today.
Again, it's just the whole thing of finding ways to lose instead of finding ways to win.
Yep.
And I think that's the most frustrating thing. That's the most frustrating thing, because everyone was prepared to see them lose yesterday.
Yep.
And if you told everybody it was going to be 20-12 and they'd have the ball with a chance to tie the game, everybody would say, I will take it. But it's all the stuff that happened in between that you just go, oh, it's no different. And that's the crippling part.
Yep, absolutely. Corey, thank you, sir.
Yep.
Corey Curtis brought to you by the Men's Clinic. You can join us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. A lot of your thoughts to get into on the Titans front. Hang with us on our phone line, our text line. We'll get with you. We'll continue to react to the Titans' 20-12 loss to Denver and a bad day for Brian Callahan coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
What is the play at the end of half sequence with three spread passes?
Yeah, I was trying to be aggressive and see if I can get the ball moved out from underneath there. And we've kind of gotten a little bit of rhythm, so trying to take advantage of some momentum potentially, and it didn't really work out in our favor in that point.
Is that worst case scenario to have them turn around
Absolutely it is, yeah. Yeah, that was it's a wild swing in the end of the first half that I was, you know, tough to overcome those when you put yourself in that spot. And again, trying to be aggressive, see if we can get the ball moving back forward the other way a little bit, and didn't really work out for us.
The horizontal passing qualify as aggressive there. What did you see that showed you that throwing the ball sideways is going to get you around?
Did you have the play calls, Paul? Did you see him?
No.
Okay.
What were you expecting out of
him? We had a couple of aggressive play calls down the field, try to work across the field with some of the man coverage they were playing. So we just didn't hold up well enough in protection. They covered it pretty well.
That's Brian Callahan after the game yesterday.
It doesn't get less infuriating.
No, it doesn't. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. So I finally heard Kuharski's question there.
Yeah, horizontal pass you.
Horizontal pass is there. Is that aggressive? Does that qualify as aggressive?
When you play Connect Four, you go diagonal or you're straight up and down?
What's your strategy, tic-tac-toe?
My goodness. We got to have some fun.
This is what we're going to have to do this year, because I can't sit here and do this every Monday. I'm just like, well.
Especially my husband, Archie Bunker.
I mean, you really are close there. Your Edith Bunker is good.
Thank you.
Yeah, Callahan and Kuharski might be headed for some special moments.
Might be.
But it's...
Could be today.
And I mean, really, like, well, yeah. Tell you what.
He'll probably apologize.
Brian Callahan?
Yeah.
He should start his presser saying, guys, it's absolutely inexcusable for an NFL coach to not know the rules and situation
that. I was frustrated after the game. It was one of the most frustrating games we've had. And...
Oh, you think he'll apologize to PK?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Maybe, yeah. I think
I'm talking about apologizing for not knowing the rules.
Well,
he apologized to all of football.
He'll probably, maybe both.
I'm an NFL head coach. How about apologize? Just an entire list of people I need to apologize for.
I like to apologize.
I have a list.
Will Levis, you should have been rookie of the year last year. My coaching robbed you of that. My apologies.
Apologize to his dad, you know, Bill, big coach. I'm sorry hiring you and putting you in this position to make you look like a terrible O-line coach and ruin your reputation.
Ruin your entire legacy, yes.
Or, Dad, any chance this offensive line cannot be buns at some point? Be great.
Send our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Scott in Hendersonville. Scott, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, one thing that really stood out to me, it's bugged me for 3 years, but it really stood out to me yesterday. When the Denver was putting the game away, the Titans were out there with corners that were just getting abused, and they were in their base D, I guess, due to the personnel. They were also trying to guard against the run, but they're out there in their 3-4 base and with no nickel on the field. McCreary's sitting on the bench for a good part of the second half, and they're out there with guys that cannot play, just due to injuries, poor roster management, et cetera. And it's been an issue in the past, but other than Simmons, McCreary is probably the second best defender on the team. And, he played outside as a corner as a rookie and did fine. And they said, well, he's a prototypical nickel. We want somebody a little taller, longer arms. That's it, longer arms. We need somebody back there with longer arms. Well, why are you out there with scrubs that are getting abused with McCreary on the bench? It's like having a guy, he's the best starting pitcher on your team. Oh, he's a prototypical middle reliever. It's just infuriating that they pigeonholed him, and he's not, and the quarterback play has been an issue for years. And it's just something that I don't hear mentioned that just really sticks out.
Yep.
I don't know what your thoughts on this.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it.
It's nice to have a alternative, kind of obscure complaint. But, no, I know what he's saying. I think you have personnel groupings and things. I think that goes also in tandem with, like, Legarius needs on a pitch count. Let's burn it all up in the first quarter.
Yeah, let's let and then not play in the second
and
half.
And you're hamstrung. But I would agree. Like, Roger McCreary should be on the field. One way or the other, like, you shouldn't have a grouping, or you should be able to adjust and have him on the field.
Yeah.
In important moments.
Yeah. Well, by the way, and if you're worried about his, you know, short arms, it was good when he went and high pointed the ball against Cortland Sutton yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
I'd say he probably needs to be on the field as much as possible.
Can I just read this? I we've been all very negative today, but I just want to read this text, okay. Unnamed texter. Quote, it was an ugly day, but we beat ourselves against a really good defense. We were better than I thought. You just got to clean things up. I said, bring that sunshine. And the response is, we can win next week and everything changes. And I think we played the best defense we're going to see this year. The rest are wearing us out. Had to keep that 8 points. But all right, okay, yes. But that's the first optimistic comment I've heard today.
That might be the best defense. I do agree with that. That might be the best defense they'll see all year.
This next one's pretty tough.
Next one's pretty good too. Yeah. There's a few on there that are pretty good. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Gorilla to the program. Good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, guys. Can you hear me?
I can.
Hey, man, I have a positive spin on the game. And that is, we know that Callahan is not an NFL coach. That's understood now. I'm in the mindset that it might not have necessarily been Will Levis. But anyway, guys, check this out. The litmus test is out on this staff, on this coaching staff. And that is, what did Tyler Lockett do? What did Van Jefferson do? These guys both took two roster spots over Cam Ward's safety blanket. I've been beating the pavement since we drafted Cam Ward for Restrepo. I've been beating it. All we need is a good safety blanket. Remember, he's not on page with none of these receivers. This thing looked horrible, guys. I mean, I'm sick. I'm going to be honest with you, Titan fans. Get ready for it. Another 3-14 season. I'm sorry. That defense is
unless Restrepo plays.
Good. No. I'm watch it, guys, because what you're not going to do, you're not going to change a leopard's spots. Brian Callahan is who he is. He doesn't know the tempo, the rhythm of a game. He's not going to change. And if he does change one or two series, he's going to dupe right back into what we've seen. This is unacceptable. We need to get rid of this bum. They need to bring Restrepo up as a safety blanket out of the slot position. I don't know why we went and got Tyler Lockett. That's so Tennessee Titan for you to go get these old washed up receivers and try to get something out of them. Man, I'm sick. I'm serious, guys. We're gonna have a rough season. It's not getting any better. Did you watch?
All right, thank you for the call. We get the point.
Yeah, we got to do time limit on. I like what Andrew does. I like Andrew's 1 minute Oscar music thing.
Stop calling in and talking for more than 2 minutes. That's going to be our new strategy.
Give us a quick hit.
Let's get to it quickly.
Quick hit, and then we'll go. And the quick hit is apparently Restrepo is the answer.
Yeah, apparently so. I didn't have that one on the card today.
Probably not.
You never know. You just never. We had some interesting calls this segment.
We did. Yeah, I mean, look, on the Callahan not changing spot. I mean, I've said this the whole show.
We haven't really known what is.
Yeah, I don't know.
But we're starting to 3-15, not like
and
the look.
It's starting to become pretty clear. And the charge is on him to fix it. And I am rapidly running out of faith that he's going to be able to do that. A lot more of your thoughts to get to on the Titans front. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. I got some tickets to give away to see Judas Priest and Alice Cooper at First Bank Amphitheater coming up on Sunday, September 21st. Be caller 5, 615-737-1025.
1025.
Rock it out, baby. I got a shout out to Jack in the YouTube chat. Someone told Joe Levis wasn't a rookie last year. That is a fair point.
It's true. Hard to win rookie of the year.
See, I'm ripping on people for not knowing the rules. I don't even know what year Will Levis was last year in the NFL. Maybe I should shut up.
I mean, on the Callahan front, here's where I'm at with him. You know, we talked last year at the end of the year when they were firing Rand Carthon about how I would have just gone ahead and cleaned house. They didn't do that, so it is what it is. It's fine. I have an open mind on him this year when it comes to the quarterback because generally, I agree that the idea of the quarterback and the head coach and the same system being married together and coming up together is a good thing. Having said that, you know what's not a good thing for your quarterback? If you're pairing him with a bad head coach. It's not good. Like, continuity for the sake of continuity is stupid. And I've said that for a long time. So we're off to a rough start, baby. It's a rough start with Brian Callahan in game one. And, you know, for all the offseason talk about, you know, trying to limit the penalties and trying to avoid beating yourself. And, boy, did they beat themselves yesterday. I mean, that was a master class in beating yourself yesterday. And that's a rough way to begin the season. I don't know that you really could have handpicked a worse way to begin the season for Brian Callahan specifically yesterday. And then that's, you know, that's not without even getting into the rule stuff, which I just think is a huge problem. Like, the fact that he didn't know that rule, I don't think is going to go over very well in that locker room. I think it's a big deal. And I just think yesterday was a disaster for Brian Callahan. So, I mean, it's reached the point with me, Joe, where I'm trying like mad to hang on, to have some hope here that maybe he ends up figuring it out. But deep down, I kind of realize that it's probably not going to happen. Like, deep down, I kind of know that they're probably going to be looking for another head coach.
On my personal text line, driven by frozen pizza.
Yep. I know.
Quote, the players see and hear this. They experienced it. They may say, we support Coach Callahan. We appreciate his showed confidence in the offense. Deep down, they're like, we ain't playing for Andy Reid or McVay. We're playing for Rich Kotite.
Yeah,
nice. I mean, Rich Kotite reference. Nice. Anonymous texter to my text line.
That is nice.
Rich Kotite. Good Lord, you don't want to be compared to him. No, this is one of those moments that can lose you. Again, when I say lose a locker room, I hate the whole playing for a coach. Yeah. These guys are professionals. They're playing for their families. They're playing for each other. Yes, you want them to like their boss, right? And in this work environment, you know, respect him. And this is where it's like, okay, the guy in charge knows less about the game than I do. Monty Hooker can say that today. He knew the rule yesterday. It was clear in the replay. And that's a tough look, man, for a coach trying to, again, young head coach trying to make it in this league, trying to prove he belongs, came into a bad situation, bad roster. Yesterday was on him more than anybody else. And I don't know that I said that after any of the games last year. I don't think so. I don't think there was there ever a game last year that was like, this one is on Brian Callahan. I don't think so. Now, there was, I mean, overall,
we were too
it was
busy
bad.
Watching the quarterback throw the ball over the back of his head and the special teams getting punch blocked every week. So,
yeah. So it's like, it's overall bad product on him, overall having all rookie coordinators on him, things like that. Yeah. But like an actual, the game was an embarrassing, terrible performance by the head coach. Yeah. I don't think that happened. Really not good for him for that to happen in week one of his second year as he's trying to keep his job.
Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Gil to the program. Gil, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
How y'all doing this morning?
Doing good. Good.
Yeah. My thing, I didn't expect us to have a good season this year. My thing is them not being able to get it right. I mean, the left tackle, I already knew that this was coming, just like the $2 steak dude that we got rid of, that Miami paid all that money. You know what I mean? We get these players and we want to try to make them better when we're getting what we paid for. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. And then with Callahan, I felt all along we needed to go back to original offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and let him look over the team. He just seems over his head as a full head coach. And we brought him here for the offense, and that's the weakest part of the team right now. So I feel we needed to get a good offensive coordinator and let him look over him and run his offense and make sure it runs right, and we just didn't do it. And it's just like we get these opportunities to fix these problems, and we just can't never get it fixed. So I don't think we should get another coach unless he just loses the whole team, But other than that, we're just going to have to ride it out and maybe get an offensive coordinator next year because this year is too late.
Thank you, Gil. Appreciate the call. Well, I can tell you this.
$2 steak, dude.
That was awesome.
Poor Aaron Brewer.
I can tell you this. We've had a couple of these questions today about, like, should he give up play calling? It's too late for that. Like, it's yeah. – I mean, he is going to sink or swim at this point when it comes to being the play caller. Like,
if he does that, he's giving up the job
he's,
altogether.
Yeah, he's not. He's going to get fired.
That's why, like, he got hired.
Yeah, it's part of why he got hired. You know, he's developing – all those things – and I understand that, you know, the CEO and, you know, being the overseer of all of it's very important, and that's what you are as a head coach. But at this point, like, if they don't have confidence in him pretty quickly into the year that he can't call plays anymore, why are you keeping him? Like, he'll be gone.
Yeah. As some people throwing out Mike McCoy, offensive assistant, who's been an OC. It's not, that's not going to happen. And again, to me, the play calling in terms of, like, designing a game plan, we've seen good scripted drives in the Titans, stuff like that. He knows offense. It's game management.
Yeah.
Is where he failed yesterday. It's being the CEO and realize, let's see, we're up 6-3. They only have two timeouts. We're inside our five. We can't protect. Yeah, let's let it rip, baby. That's not the plays you're calling. That's like the game management of, no, you. It doesn't matter what pass play you call. You don't call a pass play at all. So here's a text rip. I think this is true of a fair amount of people, I'm guessing. Quote, I was very optimistic before the season started about Brian. I thought Will lost us a lot more games than Brian did last year. But after yesterday, I will immediately say I was extremely wrong and I'm already done with him. I think some people had their minds changed for the worse on Brian Callahan yesterday. And people even who were like, no, I still think this guy's smart and I hear him talk and the pedigree's good and I think he can do it.
Well, again, I understand. I'm trying really hard not to overreact to one game, and especially week one in an NFL season, that we know there are some results that you can look back each year in week one and say, well, good Lord, how did that happen? Like, who knows? Maybe Miami goes on to be some playoff team this year and the Colts are terrible. They got smoked yesterday. Like, so I have no idea. I don't know what it's going to look like. But I also think in the NFL, Joe, there are some performances, there are some games – that just feel a little bit different. And yesterday was one of them. Like, I think I go back to the question I asked Corey Curtis. How damaging was that for Callahan yesterday? And I think the answer is extremely. I think that was an extremely damaging game for him and his long-term outlook, short-term outlook as a coach for this football team.
I do too. Now, I still also believe, and it's like put an asterisk next to it, but I do. I think Amy Adams-Strunk does not want to fire someone quickly again. I really believe that. I mean, she hears what people say. I know that. She hears what people say.
Yep.
And so I think that helps him. And the Cam Ward thing, of course, helps him. It's like, does Cam Ward like you? Do they work together? How's Cam playing? Does it keep getting better? Okay. So those things, I think, definitely work in his favor. But at some point, if you're as bad as he was yesterday in terms of just being a CEO, then it trumps everything.
Yeah, you can't overcome that. And again, like on the Ward front, at some point you're like, hey, coach, I need you to know the rule. That's what I need. Let me play quarterback. I need you to know the rule. That would be awesome. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Final thoughts on the Titans and the Broncos. Coming up next, you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Because I know what we have in this room.
Did you touch my drum set?
Hey, knock it off!
I know you touched my drum stick.
Because I believe in what you guys are capable of.
You swear on your mom's life that you didn't touch it then.
The urgency every time we walk in.
I know you touched my drum set, and I want to hear that dirty little mouth admit it.
It should be urgent as we have to make each other better every day we step out.
If you touch my drums, I will stab you in the neck with a knife.
Oh, boy. We knew it would come back at some point this year.
Woo!
The Brian Callahan stepbrothers mash up there. Maybe Ian's the greatest thing he's ever done, which is saying something.
Who's his Will Ferrell?
God, I don't know. Brinker?
Yeah, I guess, right? We'll go with that. It could have been Ram, but Ram's gone.
Just screaming up there. It's a Catalina wine mixer!
Great movie. For those who haven't seen Step Brothers.
Yeah, I'd encourage you to check it out. Not in front of your children. Man, what a day. Yeah, but we haven't even gotten to discuss, you know, Vanderbilt went in the second half and just absolutely smoked Virginia Tech. We're going to get more into that tomorrow.
We'll hit some CFB tomorrow.
Yeah, hit some college football tomorrow. But, I mean, it's been basically the Brian Callahan show. That's how bad it was. Like, that's my takeaway. That's how bad it was. You know, I came into the show this morning wondering, Joe, like, am I about to go over the top? Like, is it about to be too far with the criticism? I don't think so. Like, I think it was that bad yesterday. And if you're a Titans fan and you watch it and you hear about all the things in the offseason and you're excited about Cam Ward and you got, you know, a new regime in here now and Borgonzi's come in and they've done all these things in the offseason to preach accountability, and you see a game go like that yesterday with the penalties, with the just shooting yourself in the foot all the time, Broncos trying to gift wrap you the game, and you just hand it right back to them, and then you factor in the coaching decisions and not knowing rules. Like, it just – if you're – ever, if it was great to have NFL football back yesterday. Like, looking around, it's like, oh, yeah, NFL Sunday, it's back. It's awesome. And if you're a Titans fan, you're like, good God, it's the same old thing, man. Same old thing is what it felt like yesterday.
Yeah, some of this – yeah, the no touchdown, 12 points – bad pass protection. These are things that we're all sick of seeing for way, way too long. And, you know, if the Titans go for a third straight just terrible season, that's – go look at the history of the franchise. You know, that's not – this should never happen in the NFL, and it really isn't part of the history of this franchise either, but we're staring at it. But the thing that stood out about yesterday that was different, that just – it just rises above all the other crap, is the coaching. It was a truly terrible performance.
He looked like
him.
A buffoon yesterday.
Again, those two things in particular, malpractice game management, and then post-game confirming he doesn't know a rule you have to know as a coach of any sort, let alone a head coach in the NFL. And someone on the text line brought up, and I'm not big on, I swear, bringing Vrabel into the discussion. Vrabel's team sucked yesterday.
Yep.
And he's 0-1, and all the everybody in New England who thinks he's the next Paul Revere can calm down, right? The British are coming! Is that Paul Revere?
That's Paul Revere.
It was Paul Revere. I was like, no, wait, did he do the Tea Party? Yeah, you know what I'm saying. American history. Well educated.
The Raiders are coming! The Raiders are coming!
But like Vrabel, as a Titans coach, as people may remember, may not want to remember, he was so good with the rules, like he was schooling Bill Belichick in a playoff game. He several times in games helped win games by taking penalties to stop the clock and things like that and use the rule book to his advantage. Knew it up and down, back and forth, went through, watched all these games to get situational football down. And for this guy, who is a very smart guy, Brian Callahan, to be that ill-informed is truly astounding.
Well, it's your job as an NFL head coach to know the rules. I mean, that's what it comes down to, right? Like, it's your job. And I keep coming back to the locker room part of this. Like, how are you – if you're a Titans player and you hear him say that after the game, what are your thoughts coming into work today, right? Like, what are you looking – you're going in the meeting and it's like, okay, so if you don't know that, what else don't you know, right? What else are we not getting here?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard not to think that.
Yeah, no, for sure. And again, on a day-to-day basis, he may blow them away with film and you know, game theory. And you know, if you're Cam Ward, you may be like, oh, this guy's a wizard. And, you know, yeah, he made a mistake on that thing, but this guy's great. I don't know. I have no idea. There's a lot of stuff we don't know about what goes on in that building. But, you know, you have 17 chances a year to show it on a field in front of the world. And man, after all this talk and all the different things, you know, trying to fix chemistry and everything. Yep. And then again, even like the discipline, you have the penalty, a ridiculous day of penalties. Your captain makes a ridiculous mistake at the end of the game.
Yep.
You know, it's a great play in 2002 when they didn't always call plays like that.
Right.
That Jeff Simmons did. There's just so much to be alarmed by on the coaching front.
Well, and again, this is it's not the same as last year, because last year, you know, we talked about it. There was a lot of positivity about Will Levis heading into the year, and a lot of talk about how they feel like they could be a pretty good football team and checking every box and all that. It wasn't the same this offseason. I thought Brian Callahan the last week or so was more measured, just in terms of, hey, we got to go prove it. You know, I feel really good about where we're at, but got to go prove it. Well, you read between that, it's like, well, you feel really good about where we're at, and that was the end result there. So what does that tell you? Not very good. Not very good. We're going to have you covered all day long here on 102.5 The Game. Full reaction to the Titans' loss in Denver in week 1. Next man up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.